Welcome to the Mega 64 Podcast. Tonight's show brought to you by MacWeldon.com, the greatest clothes vendor on the web. And Kickapoo Joy Juice, the tastiest drink distributed on the land and the sea. And thank you for those sponsors. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an amazing show, so get ready. Do like a crazy transition.
Okay.
To like when the make the podcast start.
Oh, here, Sean, I got it.
Like the curtains raised to see King Kong.
Okay, wait, here, ready? We're gonna do a
live edit.
There we go. Hey, we're live.
Hey,
we're locally live.
I am live right now, so that's great.
I'm happy to be alive.
Well, welcome to the podcast, everyone. It's not what we expected. We're not live on Twitch. We're just on Tuesday only. The Tuesday only cast. So thank you for hanging out and watching.
Hasn't even
sit
started.
Back, relax. Get comfortable, and we're going to have the best time.
Yeah. We don't need internet to provide a content-rich podcast for our audience.
No, we
don't. No, in fact, however you're watching this, I bet it doesn't involve the internet.
Probably not.
No.
So, you know, whatever analog method you came up with, however you got this, this tape or cassette, we are the number one thing on that medium.
I'm all about vinyl now, yo.
Yeah. I watched, I found a YouTube channel called Techmoan.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people already know about it, but it's just a guy going through old formats that don't exist or work anymore.
Oh, yeah?
And he was showing, like movies on like a vinyl record, basically, that they would...
What?
Yeah, there used to be, not a Laserdisc, but like it would read it like a vinyl record, and it would read these, it was an analog format that would read it like, yeah, like a... tape, I guess, or whatever.
And display an image?
And display an image. And it was like VHS quality.
VHS tapes work through magnetism, so yeah. It's like binary, but
that
set with a magnet.
Yeah. Blows my mind. Where would it project it? Just like on the wall?
Screen? No, on TV. Like a... Yeah, you hook it up to
whoa.
A TV.
Whoa! Wow, it had AV output.
Yeah, it was just like watching a VHS tape.
Yeah.
It was just not on a tape.
Holy
it was on a record.
Shit. That, what did they call that format?
I don't know, something disc.
That's crazy.
I keep wanting to say UMD. It was not UMD.
No.
I have a love for like that old technology.
Yeah.
I have an 8-track player that's like hooked up to my stereo.
Look up the Techmoan channel.
I'll check
it
out.
It's all just dead formats.
That's
Techmoan.
The one thing that was great about that format, just like it was great with Laserdisc, the one thing that was better than any other format was just the presentation of it. Because they get these big... The movies would be on a case that big.
You get your own poster, basically.
And they got Return of the Jedi, and he opens it up, and there's like a book inside on like, here's what creatures you'll meet in Return of the Jedi. Here's Cy Snoodles, the singer. Here's... You know, I don't know. There was like... You would get... I just imagine... Being a kid and like reading that and getting excited for this movie, you know, it's not like now you just fucking sling it on a tablet and it's already there. And like you don't need to know anything about fucking Lightning McQueen. Here it is. Watch it on the way to the grocery store.
Get an ultraviolet copy from your aunt's combo pack and throw it on your phone.
Obscure Star Wars characters. My kids asked me a question and I thought I knew the answer, but I thought I'd check with you. Is Lobot a droid or a person?
I love Lobot.
Oh,
he's a droid.
I love Lobot.
He's a droid?
Well,
some argue person.
He's not, would it be a droid? He'd be a robot.
He's a robot.
An android.
He's a robot.
An android,
He's a humanoid. He's a humanoid.
Because I always thought
robot.
He was a guy with just like a weird thing on his head, but that was it. I didn't know that.
Oh, there's more going on there.
I didn't know.
Expanded universe stuff, they write whole books on Lobot's winning prowess. Yeah. He's got
sexual
Lando.
Prowess.
He's got Lando out of a few sexual
binds.
Did you
check the Wikipedia? It has all your answers.
I didn't Wikipedia. Check that. I will look into
Eat
that.
A Wookiee cookie, read the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And
Chewbacca
have yourself...
mom. She's on there.
Chewbacca
She's
mom.
Hot.
Ooh.
And no, what else do you need to add to that? That's it.
Brave.
I mean, why elaborate?
Well, I was going to say, can we put her in, like, Playboy or something?
I think she deserves it.
Like, yeah, they go naked again in Playboy. I heard that.
Centerfold, Chewbacca mom. She has the mask on. Nipples
all right,
out.
Yeah.
Pubic hair.
Pubic hair.
I want to see, like...
In a Wookiee braid down there, because I know she likes Wookiees.
Yeah,
You're not used to, you know, Chewbacca mom's
and
got
then
mom
I want to see every, like... You know, I saw a picture of her, and she has a Lego Chewbacca tattoo on her arm. I want to see every Star Wars tattoo hidden in every nook and cranny in Chewbacca mom's anatomy.
You know so, what? Change your name. Chewbacca MILF.
Ooh. Okay, theme song. What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us.
What would it look like, and would you want to see? Yo.
Hey. Welcome back.
Let's just get right into the trench warfare of Mega 64.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
We put out a new video this week.
Yeah.
Unreal video.
Yeah.
It's not real. No, it is real. Whoa. Oh, fuck. But well, it's real?
It's up for debate. I don't know.
What about Israel?
Is it real? Is it not real? We made a video with the creator of the Unreal Engine, Tim Sweeney.
Yes, we did.
Check it out.
Yep.
Good video. You don't really see Tim Sweeney in a lot of comedy videos.
In a lot of acting roles.
In a lot of acting roles. Yeah, yeah, and I feel like... Does that make the video better? Does it make the video worse?
I think it does. I think
you can tell he's not in a lot of
acting. I would tell you this is the first time I saw Tim Sweeney
ever.
Ever.
Really?
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 Well, maybe that's just how he is.
I had seen him, again, he's like top dog at Epic Games, CEO, I believe. And I saw they did like a Cribs or whatever with him. Not really Cribs, but whatever G4 had. G4 had a show like Cribs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they went to his house, and it was insane, and his cars were insane.
Oh, wow.
Because when they first start talking to him, you know, he's just kind of humble guy, you know, whatever. There's not really, it's not like he had, like, loud clothes or a loud attitude. He was just like, hey, I'm Tim Sweeney, what's going on? And then when they showed all his, like, his, I think it was his car, the first thing was like, oh, my God. I want to run Epic Games, but they didn't let me.
Do you think Cliff Bleszinski put in a good word for us, and then
I don't know.
Do they work together at Epic?
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Cliff is not at Epic, but
not anymore. But
they worked together. They in used video, to. They whether must, he knew it or not.
They must have worked together back in the day.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tim Sweeney was a great sport. He was super cool. There is someone that we've worked with multiple times at Epic back when Cliff worked there too. Her name is Dana.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Who was helping organize the whole thing, and she acts in the video for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Really?
She's in it at the beginning, and she was so much better. I was not anticipating that. She's like really good at the beginning, so don't miss that performance. Don't like skip ahead. You know, some people. Some people when they turn on a video, they just naturally skip the first minute. You know, don't do that.
We had another video. We had like an hour to film total. Everything that we filmed on our side of the camera was filmed after we filmed with him. But I had like the best time. Like he was like a cool guy. Like the video was pretty simple, and I don't know, he was like a good sport in the sense of like the part of the camera is like, I'm gonna have it go like right up my nose. I'm like, yeah, do that. Like I don't know, it's like he was a cool guy. So
yeah, it was really cool. But that he made the whole process easygoing. In a time that was very stressful because we were doing that video and the Fumito Ueda's Madden video. We were trying to put those together at the same time, which there at some point will be a behind the scenes video of both about how we executed both in the same time frame. So look for that soon. But but Tim's part could not have gone smoother. Like, there were some bumpy things throughout, but his parts were so smooth. And creator of the Unreal Engine.
Yeah, that's huge, man.
So
how many games have been on an iteration of Unreal?
Like five.
Like, that's it?
It's crazy.
Damn.
They're all good.
Yeah. I had a technical question about that video. When he picks up the camera and is showing it around,
right.
And you see that's what's on the monitor, was that real time? You just... use HDMI?
No, that camera that he picked up was actually recording.
And you use that footage and then we superimpose it? I use gaffer tape and tape the HDMI cable to that.
Actually. Oh, that's great. Because I was like, that looks too good to not be in effect. That's a,
we got him.
I like digging in. You got me.
Now you know.
Got me.
It was nice to actually have our guest show up. Which was not the case last year.
No.
We didn't have like a big developer thing last year. So
we had two this year.
We had two this year. It was funny because we filmed the Tim Sweeney video like two doors down from where we filmed the
Sakaguchi
video. Yeah. So now we're really taking over all of that convention center.
Moscow,
they said. Yeah, it was... it was a lot of fun. When we originally pitched the video, it was always that we were going to pitch Unreal Engine 5. Just because, logically, if you were any idiot would know, okay, well, that's going to come next. They just did 4. And initially, the people that we talked to, they were kind of like, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't call it Unreal Engine 5 just to not play with expectations. Just call it, like, the next Unreal Engine.
Wait, what?
You know, because, you know, because there's always that corporate like trepidation of like, you know, if they do Unreal Engine 5, we don't want it to be like, oh, that video spoiled it or something. And as silly as that may be, as logical as it may be that someday there will be one with a higher number, you know, but they wanted us to maybe, shy away from that.
Interesting. Okay, that's happened before.
So we kind of rewrote it where we were just going to call it, well, we'll just call it the Real Engine. Like the logo is just they scrape out on, and that's it. Would have been the joke. And then as it got closer, like of the day, a day or two before, I got a note from them. They were like, "Oh yeah, hey, Tim finally reviewed this. He thinks it's funny. But Unreal Engine 5. That's fine. Just make it that." Okay. So then we kept that. They should call it the Real Engine. We put that in the video
as another tag on the joke.
So this is just an example of how sometimes gags get reworked and moved.
I did see in the comments some people were like, wait, was this the announcement for Unreal Engine 5? They just announced that right now? And then, on the side of the company, in their defense, people are fucking stupid. So, you know, it happens. You have to think about those people, too.
Very true, yeah. We filmed, so the stuff that was supposed to be in the Unreal Engine 5, we had all these plans to go around San Francisco, like, maybe we'll go to the Fisherman's Wharf and, like, film the bay. You know, water is always the big test in graphics. Like, how good does water look?
Right.
Yeah. But then we left our hotel, and it was just so busy right there. And they were, like, selling hot dogs. We're like, well, let's go over there. And suddenly it was like, you know, it might just be funnier to film, like, the drinking fountain here. You want to get water? I got water for you.
Yeah.
Oh, my reflection is like the more mundane, the
better. Because get that.
Yeah, like, but then it was
they're
like...
they're showing water on purpose.
And then we're filming ourselves, and our reflections are showing up in it. And it's like, well, no, that's funny. So let's get more of our reflection showing up in it.
Right.
And then it almost turned into, how unimpressive can we make Unreal Engine 5? Okay, there's a crumpled up leaf. Ooh,
pigeons.
A pigeon sitting in the grass.
Yeah.
And that was all on the fly, kind of like a last minute decision.
Yeah, but it was going to be more elaborate, but then,
that's what you see in those like tech demo videos, though. Like, look at this AI bird. Look how well it's programmed.
Yeah.
Look at how the grass blows the wind.
It kind of fits.
Always with the water, too.
Exactly. So it was, like,
I knew exactly
weird,
what you were doing.
Yeah, so it was like, these guys are trying, but not trying nearly hard enough.
Right,
And it turned out funny, I think. You said that a lot of industry people were posting the video.
Yeah, so that was what was interesting about releasing the video is, like, most usual viewers seemed to dig it. There were a huge amount of developers tweeting that video out.
Oh, that's cool.
I think, I'm not a game developer. I don't know that side of it, but...
Shocking.
But I think a lot of people work with Unreal, Engine... and are very familiar with Tim Sweeney. They all had this great jubilation in sharing that video. Like, look what Tim did. Look at this. Oh, you got to look at this. It was seriously, most of the tweets I saw were from people who worked in games.
He's probably, just judging off your experience, he sounds like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
He's probably really nice to all of the games industry people he works for. So they're just like...
happy to share it with us. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that was really cool. I'd never quite seen a video where so many behind the scenes people on games really appreciated it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. My takeaway from it, the most valuable thing to me personally, is that when the video was over, I handed him the printout of Neo inside the Matrix. And had him sign it. And he just looked at it like, and wrote, "That was weird." So that's getting framed.
You got that? Oh, that's great.
That's getting framed and hung up.
Nice.
That was the treasure to me. I mean, anymore. Other than meeting him and working with him, it was that.
Talking but, Matrix.
Anyway, yeah, gotta have the Matrix stuff in there. Which, well, I have thoughts on that, by the way.
Warner Brothers, what the fuck?
I forgot to bring that up earlier. They're talking about a Matrix reboot. We'll talk about that later.
Reboot?
We don't need to go into that right now. We got some other important stuff.
They announced they're going to,
Well, I guess we'll it's been 18 years. I mean, that's the time frame they usually do it in.
Neo's young now. He's 12 years old.
Hey,
and he needs to join a militant group to discover that his out of control powers can really be controlled. That's my idea. What were you going to say?
I'm just thinking, like, you know, when the first one came out, it broke so many like rules, and like the technology was like mind blowing.
Yeah.
Like, would they do that again? Would they be able to like blow my mind again? Because of that,
dude, you know,
they gotta do the Matrix. You gotta do next level. What's bigger than bullet time? Bomb time.
Just call it. Knife time.
Well, they did that kind of take
an analog approach. Yeah. Just call it the Matrix. You don't have to try hard, and everyone will go and then see it anyway, and it'll break records. Just like the Beauty and the Beast shit that came out this weekend, where everyone is fucking indifferent, but everyone goes, and now they're gonna make 10 more.
Let's talk about that when we get to movies. Beauty and the Beast. I want to joke about that too. But
should I save my Matrix thoughts for that?
Let's save the movie.
I know it's hard.
Yeah,
that's we're talking Mega 64 right now.
I got led. They dangled the carrot in front of me.
So check out our Team Tim Sweeney video. Our Team Tim Sweeney video. Because we're on Team Tim Sweeney. Fuck you, Cliffy.
Yeah.
Thank you for being the
video. That's why we punched
really him. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Cliff. Cliff continues his cameo streak in that video.
How many is that now?
Oh, shit.
Like 10?
I don't even know. No, not 10.
Yeah.
Probably that's like 7 or something. Yeah.
He holds court down there at GDC. That's like his gig, man. He loves it. We
contacted him, and he said he would do a cameo this year. And I really did. We never really talked about it, but in my head, I really did kind of want him to not show up in the video with the Epic Games guy in it and have him show up in the video with the Japanese developer. Because that way, when they came out back-to-back, people would go, seriously? But
Maybe they got into it, though.
Yeah. But anyway... So watch that video when you get a chance. There's been all kinds of stuff happening with us this week. We have some things to come. Probably will be out. By the time you watch this, you will see there will be a brand new... Well, Garrett did a... You did a PPS this week.
I did it.
You had to do a makeup show because things weren't working.
I mean, speaking of internet problems, the Wednesday show wouldn't go. It was just dropping frames left and right. So I made a show up on Sunday.
And
that's going up on the archive channel.
Look that up on our archives channel, a brand new PPS.
Pieced them together.
Going back to the world of The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
The road to the, what is it? The road to respect. The road to respect. When I played Garrett's save, it was he had $7,500 and 100% respect.
Yeah. I mean,
so good looking numbers.
Is looking
the
good.
Game starts, and I don't have much respect for Tony Soprano, but that will change. Don't worry.
I've got to earn it.
I'm gonna walk down this road.
It's like it's a crazy PS2 game full of like. I mean, your home base is like a strip club.
Yeah, the bottom.
That's like the show.
PS2 breasts in full view.
Nice.
Yeah, you can watch them.
It's great.
Yeah.
G-string. A lot of G-strings.
Good. Hell yeah. We also put up a new friend dimension this week.
Yes.
Which is Resident Evil 7. Correct?
Oh, one more chapter in the Resident Evil 7 book. I think if we do like one more, it could probably beat it.
Yeah, that's the last time I played the game. Yeah. I haven't played since that friend dimension.
So much has come out since.
Yeah, I've been too busy.
Speaking of our Patreon, go there if you want to see the latest episode of Friend Dimension, but also to our patrons. It's a very exciting time because we are getting very close to our next stretch goal, which is the Mega 64 tell-all book.
Damn.
Yeah, so I just want to remind everybody that it's getting really close. I think we're like a couple hundred bucks away from hitting it. It's definitely going to happen. It's going to happen within the next month, 2 months, maybe.
Shit, yeah.
It kind of depends on, you know, everybody out there watching who cares to see it come to fruition. Yeah. But the book is, it's something that we've been wanting to do for a long time. I feel like we've talked about making a book for like over 5 years.
And again, got like a small, like hors d'oeuvre size taste of it. When we did that soundtrack.
And that
man, that
so
soundtrack
cool.
had just a little booklet, and even that was so cool.
When did the soundtrack come out?
That was like 2010. I mean, that was,
hey,
that was
honestly,
a while
people
ago.
Were having trouble putting the booklet back in the case because it was so thick.
Yeah.
So that's how awesome it was.
So since that booklet has come out,
more.
7 years so have passed, 7 years worth of pictures, stories, memorabilia that we've kind of created. Yep. There's a lot of stuff that was written in character long ago that was kind of intended for book form, but never really went anywhere. So this thing's going to be really cool. And I'm really excited that we're going to come out with it. And we're very close. So I just want to remind everybody, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/mega64. If you want to hear more or learn more about that,
yep,
check it out. And you can see the latest friend mention.
Hell yes.
While you're there. What else?
Hey, well, there's been a lot. I mean, video game stuff. There's been a lot.
It's been a lot, but you got to narrow it down. You can't play it all.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, let's talk about video games, because I actually mentioned a few weeks ago that I was going to pick up the NES Classic, NES Mini.
Yep.
And I said at the time, I was like, you know what? I'm excited for it. 30 games, pretty cool. But I think I might mod it, see if I can do that, and load up a bunch of extra games on it. I did it!
Hell
and
yeah.
I just want to let the world know.
Tight.
Derek Acosta is a man of his word.
Nice.
I'm a hacker now.
Fuck yeah.
That's why I'm wearing the hat. That's why I got the hacker cape on tonight.
He's the Red Baron.
I'm a hacker bitch. I, you know, let me tell you my story.
Yeah.
Because I think you guys might find this interesting. Because honestly, when I got the thing, it was so rare and so hard to track down. I thought, I don't know. Am I going to fuck this up? Am I going to brick my Nintendo? Like, if I break this thing, I'm probably not getting another one. So I was worried.
Right.
All told, going from a guy who knew nothing and was worried about breaking his NES Classic, took about 2 hours to go from that guy to sunglasses are on.
Shit.
I'm fucking Neo. I'm in. I'm jacked into the Matrix. I'm adding 700 ROMs onto my NES now. 629 games currently sit on my Nintendo.
You can put all of the ROMs onto the NES.
Anything you want. I even found that there were people putting Super Nintendo games on it.
Oh, my God.
Oh!
Mario 64 was
somebody
running
somebody
on
got
it.
That
what
did
they run?
Now, here's the thing. So, getting Nintendo ROMs on it was remarkably easy.
USB?
The hardest part. So, the thing has a USB plug in back for power, like a cell phone charger.
Yeah.
You basically plug that USB into your computer and you download a program and it just
knows how to talk.
Crams to information into the butt of the Nintendo.
Gotcha.
You literally just, I watched a video all the way through to see the process. Then I watched it again. And I was like, okay, I want to try it. And then I watched it a third time while I was doing it.
Right.
Perfect.
You basically just have to download the program, plug it in. Here's the key. This is the Neo moment. You hold down the reset button, and then you hold down power, and you keep holding reset for like 5 seconds, and then you let it go, and suddenly your computer, it goes into like
debug
mode, or basically, it checks in, and it just starts loading everything you want, loading it.
Dude.
And every like 20 minutes, you gotta check on it, and if the thing looks like it's frozen, you basically just need to do it again. The reset, power, I had to do that about 4 or 5 times, took about an hour. Every game I could ever imagine
is on there now.
And real quick, I downloaded a big pack of, didn't download. I had them on my computer. I had to get them from where they were.
You copied them from your cartridges.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then there were a couple that, you know, were missing. And so I was like, damn, I remember those ROMs being really good. I probably have those on other
different hard drives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I had a really fun time kind of tracking down the specific ROMs I wanted to put on there. And at the end of it, it was like, you know, I was surprised at what wasn't readily available that I kind of had to hunt for. Games like Metal Gear, games like River City Ransom, which is like one of my favorite NES games. Yeah. Might be my favorite. Yeah. Not a very popular game, but I got North and South. I got Ice Hockey.
Castlevania.
I got all the
classics.
They
were already on there, right? Does it keep the old ROMs on there?
It does, and it keeps the same interface.
That's what I was gonna ask you.
You can do the filters? But like, they doesn't have these filters?
It keeps the same interface. Instead of just 30 games, you have about...
600.
No. It's a bunch of folders, and it's like alphabetical folders. And then you go to that folder, and it's all the games.
But if you play like Galaga versus Pac-Man or some shit that you put on there, can you use those filters?
Literally listed two games that are already on there.
Okay, but like, I'm thinking of those like weird clones of Super Mario Brothers that are like fan
Super
made.
Clyde Brothers.
You can put on any ROM that you can find,
and then use the filters that the NES Classic came with. Because didn't it have a filter?
You can make it look like CRT.
CRT TV.
I didn't know I had those filters.
Okay. Yeah. You can change it.
So I haven't tested those.
You can have it like it's on a little wider, or you can have it like true.
Oh, you know what?
Three.
Tube. I'm going to bring my NES Classic here because I actually, now that I have 629 games, would like to run through some of them on Friend Dimension. Because I was playing like Bible Adventures. I played the Terminator 2 game, which was fucking garbage.
I have that. I have a cartridge of that.
The NES game?
NES.
Did you ever get past level 2?
Fuck no.
Level 2 is fucking impossible.
That game, I remember it starts, you're walking on semi-trucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
could get past that and that's it.
It's one of those games they made purposely that you'd never be able to beat.
Yeah, you know, my dumbass.
Want to.
Get your money's worth.
I bought movie tie-ins because I like the movie. Right.
So I want to play some of those classic good games and classic bad games, but we'll check the filters too.
Okay. Cool.
But you know what? If you're on the fence or if you're worried about it, go watch a couple YouTube videos and go for it.
That's how I cook, too.
I highly recommend it.
I don't know how I'm cooking. I just put something up on YouTube.
Anything I need to do, professional or just in my private life, YouTube tutorials will be there for you.
Absolutely.
If not in like a completely expansive way, in a limited way that gets you a better idea of what you're doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
So I almost went the next step to put Super Nintendo games on, but that changed the interface of the NES Mini, and that was too much for me.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that either.
That changes it so it's like all black with like green text. I'm not actually Neo. I don't need the actual Matrix experience.
I don't want to do that at the cost of the experience like that.
Hey, you know what? Wait next year when they release the Super NES Classic and then you can...
Now, I wonder if they're going to leave it with the USB port on back or... I don't know how NES
feels.
But you know, like, do they
care?
But they do have...
Does Nintendo care? That's a good question.
They do have that eShop where you can download those games.
But they don't have it on the NES Mini.
No, they don't. And they should have, by the way. But
they for sure care, but yeah, I mean, like, you've seen console makers remove ports over time.
You know, I'm sure they care about some games, but like the T2 game, do they give a shit that like you can play that now?
I think, this is my opinion, I think as far as they're concerned, you already paid for the games they think that you care about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The games that they can get any money for at all were already in there. You paid for them.
And
so beyond that, I don't think they care.
You're a small percentage that's doing this.
Yeah.
Because most people are
I don't think they care.
They're in their 30s and they got nostalgia with it, but they ain't hacking it.
You know what, though?
They're letting
their
kids play it.
The NES Mini was kind of fun with the 30 games. It was like, Mario.
Yeah, they're great 30 games. I mean, I like those games.
Now that it's hacked, it is indispensable. From a video game collection. I am
that's tight.
I got the travel pack. I took it to my friend's house. We played NES Ice Hockey. We played Cal Ripken Baseball.
Nice.
We played all the sports games for the Nintendo Classic are still very... I think that those are the best games from the NES Classic. The sports games.
I agree.
Because those held up the best. The graphics don't really matter, but the mechanics are really fun.
They're fun, yeah.
The gameplay.
It's super easy. Like, throw to second base. I always loved it.
We're going to play some sports games on an upcoming episode of Friend Dimension.
My dream.
Do you get a problem with the short controller?
Like, you got a wireless, right?
I got a wireless controller, and I got an extension, so I'm good. Like, I got the ultimate NES game set. I'm playing Rygar my free time, or whatever
Why didn't you get a Raspberry Pi and just call it a day?
Get a Rat Pi.
Yeah, Battlefield.
You can get a Raspberry
Pi?
Raspberry Pi and just call it a day. Run Flash Linux Red Hat.
Black Hat.
I was at Barnes & Noble, and there was a book like 30 things to do with your Raspberry Pi. And it was all the most uninteresting shit you could imagine. It was like, turn it into a Geiger counter.
Yeah.
Turn it into a GPS system. Yeah. It's like, I have these things or I don't need these things.
But there are people who get a thrill out of like, look, kidding. A $35 computer did all this stuff.
I think the thrill is, look what I created.
Yeah, exactly.
It's building. I'm just cool. I'm that's a your tinkerer. Hobby. You know, this thing was a $35 piece of shit and now it counts my jelly beans for me.
Right. There you go.
Which is cool if it's your hobby, but if it's not your hobby, then give a fuck.
Yeah.
Well... Hey, we talked enough Nintendo. Let's talk indies, indie titles.
Okay.
Zelda this week played a lot of that.
Mm,
yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, listen, I've been sick lately. Days in Airports did a fucking number on me, and I was like, I've been just so sick. Yesterday was like this haze of somewhere in there I slept and somewhere I played Zelda. And that's it. I don't think anything else happened. I can't tell you if I ate or if I.
I saw him for a second. Spoke. He didn't remember.
Maybe
it.
You ate baked apples.
I actually forgot about that until right now. Really? But yeah, I played.
I was at your house.
I played. I played. I wasn't doing well.
Oh,
I was either asleep or playing Zelda.
Out of it.
I went into this haze. I might have been in Hyrule. I don't know. I can't tell you. But
did
anyway.
You have real food or were you just cooking in a campfire?
Well, I do that anyway.
All right.
You know, when the Switch was first announced, I was really not sure about what I didn't really care about it being portable. Like, okay, cool Nintendo system, but whatever. Like, the controllers change.
That's where I'm at.
I don't really like that. I don't think, you know, whatever. And now that I have it with Zelda, I've heard people like, oh, I want to buy the Switch. There's no games for it. The Switch, for me... is worth it with just Zelda, and that is it.
Yeah.
Like, if that was the only game to ever come out with this, that would be worth it.
It was an experience for that.
Totally, because I've used it portable
way
more than I thought it would. And I didn't think I was going to at all.
It completely changed PAX.
Yeah.
This PAX East was the coldest one ever. And when it was over, I mean, it was like retreat to wherever... you live or wherever it's warm.
Right.
It just shut everything down. People weren't out being social. It was it was hard. We were just going back to our hotel room and, I mean, going through Zelda dungeons together.
And I had so much fun. And it was so funny because, like, Rocco, obviously we're doing shrines. I've never done that shrine. I've never seen it. I haven't seen it yet. But it's like we're having fun talking about it. And, like, it's so much fucking fun. And
even a game that wasn't inherently social, like Zelda, became social. Because we all had it, and it was like,
in the room.
Oh, I know how to do these. Oh,
It's like, I'm not worried about spoilers, because I may never find the shrine he was on. I may never find it. Like,
so many.
There's so many. And I'm playing it, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to take Sora to bed. I seriously grab it, and I walk into the bedroom, and I keep playing, and she's laying on me, falling asleep. And it's so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I took it to Becca's practice. I love the Switch so much. Uh-huh. I did not think I thought I had no interest in this at all. I'm
awesome.
In.
You never have to spend time with your kids. You can always just be playing.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
I went to kids' play, had the Switch with me. went to a doctor's appointment. Doctor was like, blah, 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 blah. I'm playing the Switch.
You're joking, but when I took a kid to the doctor, we were waiting in the waiting room, just sitting there, and me and Beckett are just sitting there anyways, like, hey, guess what I got? And we're playing Zelda beating the shrine together.
Oh,
like, it really is the best. And I get the Switch only for Zelda, and you've got your money's worth already.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been tethered to my TV.
Yeah.
And I've still got a great experience, but I really am jealous when I see people
walking around. I never thought I would use it portable. I never thought I would do it that way.
And you're doing it
more. All the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever will use it portable.
You got one?
Yeah.
And your is in the dock all the time, yours is?
It is. And to the point where before Sean said this, honestly, because he said that to me a few days ago, I was thinking like, who the fuck is taking this anywhere? I was thinking like, who's the fucking dork that shows up to the party and is like, I got the Switch, guys!
Were there a lot of them?
But here's the thing. Sean's doing it personally. Like, he's just playing it for himself. Right. I think I'm making more fun of the guy who shows up to the party like, yo, I brought the party.
Well, oh, yeah, like the commercial on the roof.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. No, I'm not. Yeah, exactly.
You should start doing that.
And you know, that I keep seeing the trailer for the 1-2 Switch, and that really should have been included, I think, with...
Is it fun?
Yeah.
I haven't played it.
No, I don't even want to play it. I don't
give
a shit.
Didn't come with it.
But if it would, I would have played it had it come out with the thing. But I'm not,
yeah, Nintendo usually gives you something.
Yeah, that's, it was Nintendo that's, Land.
That's
it was
in it or downloaded already into the software. That's like, here's an interactive minigame you could do, especially like with this new portable. Yeah, I would think, especially with the Switch, like everyone's going to get together, play this free thing.
They didn't specifically to hit the price point they wanted with the Switch. But they wanted it to stay $299.
No software.
They wanted it to stay $299, and they said to reach that price point, we had to make everything else at a charge.
Sure.
Basically.
And I get that. I do. But with the Wii U launch, they had a cheaper version, and then they had the more deluxe one that was a little more expensive, and then had the game as well.
But the cheaper one didn't have the game, I don't think.
No, it didn't. I'm saying they could have done that this time and had
sure.
For an extra $50, it could have come with the game and maybe something.
Well, take
else.
That $50 and go buy a game.
No, I understand that too, but I'm saying like maybe throw something else in there or something. You know, like I don't know. Sure. I just feel like make more space on it, like which they did for the Wii U. It was black, had more space on it, and it came with the game. So it was like a lot of things along with it.
I don't think that plan worked for them though.
No.
That's the only I think that's why they didn't do it. I think they wanted one SKU out to the public.
Here's the
and
Switch.
There it is. Here it is, $299, done.
Sure.
I agree with you, though. Zelda is fun enough that it is worth the point of purchase just for that one game.
Yeah.
System seller.
I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I've been playing it, too.
I'm a lot of hours in. Like, I haven't played a game like this in a while. I think I'm like 30 hours in.
I think about you a lot when I play this game, Garrett. You in particular?
Aww.
I do.
It's cute.
It is cute. Because I know how Garrett is when he plays a game, he wants to explore everything.
Grind,
and I think that is impossible in this game. Like, you can explore, the map is so big. How are you even playing this game? I can't imagine.
I'm going around with a focus on I haven't done the first story mission. I mean, I got off the Great Plateau, but I haven't gone to see Lady Impa, which is kind of your first story mission.
Right.
I am just grinding. I got 6,000 rupees.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Go see Lady Impa.
I am hunting down every beast I encounter. I am out at night in the blood moon looking for a fight.
Wow.
I'm just grinding, and like then when I do visit a town, I got all this cash. I buy all the I'll buy all that armor. Hell yeah. I'm a knight now.
Yeah.
Because I saw people complaining about the price of stuff, and I'm like, $700 is nothing. Give me. I've got stealth camouflage.
Right,
it reminds me of Metal Gear the way it's open world.
Hey, you know what?
There's all these
temples. Reminds me, because I played a lot of open world games. It is a cuter version of Skyrim that has improved Skyrim with what we learned about open world games from Metal Gear Solid.
I agree.
And no going back to the helicopter in between shit.
Yep.
Yeah, because it reduced Skyrim to the level of Metal Gear Solid. So it's kind of like this fantasy, it's exploring the forest, but it's not like around every corner is another thing. It's not landmark here, landmark here, landmark there. It's a little bit more like, you know, open spaces
and then
pulls it back into here's some landmark areas. As
whoever made the map, my hat is off to, like, I am so fucking impressed with the world map and how they do tuck in an otherwise open environment.
Yep.
There's like a tucked in little labyrinth of secret shit in this little alcove.
Yeah.
It's made so well.
So the one other Nintendo game that has ever existed that had an amazing giant explorable world was Xenoblade Chronicles. And
they just said
in an interview or something recently that Monolith, who made that game, did help them.
The Bionis leg
translates
over to Kikori Village.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
No, but they had some help from that team because Nintendo themselves had never done something like that. So they got help from them. And
that makes perfect
sense because what a fun world to explore in that game. That was Xenoblade's biggest thing. It wasn't even an open world game, but you could keep going if you wanted to. You could keep looking. And it was so much fun. And that's how Zelda is. You know,
cool.
It really is. I mean, I keep turning it on and I'm still finding and being impressed by things.
Yeah.
I'm still doing stuff where how do you even get over here? Wait, I have a big leaf from a tree or something.
Right.
Wait, I can use this like a sail.
Right.
Oh man, I can float over to there's a dungeon over here. Oh my God. You know, I'm like still being impressed by things every time I turn it on. I know we're at the point in its lifespan. You know, like these big games come out and then the reviews come out day one. oh, amazing, 10 out of 10. It's, you know, and then a couple weeks go by.
Partial reviews.
It's like Final Fantasy 15 syndrome, where it's getting 10s out of 10s, and then you, and then a week goes by, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's no story here or anything right. else substantial. And it's like, okay, reality sets in. This is one where I feel like maybe it earned the 10 out of 10.
Oh.
Like, I'm still playing it and finding these things. Like, I feel like
this is one of my favorite games ever. I played probably 30 hours, which for me is crazy amount of time.
Yeah, for you, yeah.
And I feel like I haven't even started.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and I never got when people say, oh, yeah, I put 300 hours into Skyrim. It's like, what the fuck? How is it even possible? I get it now. Like, that yeah, is, yeah, you yeah. can just keep going, and it's just so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And, you know, like, a lot of people online were posting, like, right out the gate, like, oh, my God, you can do this. Oh, did you know you could do this? And that was yeah. kind of like...
Yeah, it's lame.
Not really spoilers, but kind of lame. Like, let me figure this out on my own.
Totally.
But yeah. everything that I saw that was like, oh, that's kind of cool. You could do this to get the rust off of a sword. Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. I probably would have never figured it
out. Yeah.
But, like, I still, not only, like, the stuff I read online, which has kind of died off, but just every day through playing, I'll accidentally find out, like, when I talked about surfing on a shield,
yeah.
that was a total accident. Today, I found out this thing by lighting fire and being able to fly, like, straight up.
Oh, no kidding.
That I didn't know, like, why am I seeing, like, wind gusts when I light the grass on fire here? And then, like, oh, I jumped and pulled out my thing and, like, you go. I was like, well, what the fuck?
That's
like, every awesome. Time I play, though, I find something out like that.
Yeah.
It's never slowed down.
What's super interesting is, this was at GDC, but it's on YouTube now. They did a GDC talk. It's, some of it's a little dry, but they did a talk about how they developed Breath of the Wild. And one of the things that they talk about that's so interesting, find it on YouTube if you get it, if you're bored and you want to watch it. But they talked about developing the game. They developed a chemistry engine, and that's what makes everything run. Is everything, it reacts in a chemistry way, science-wise.
So you just think it practically, and that's how you...
Everything, you know, has a chemical reaction. Fire does this to this, water does this to this, blah, 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 blah. They developed that to be advanced, and they said if we could make that really advanced, everything else would fall into place. And that's why just the this is another thing you can do in the game. Maybe you don't know about this, so yeah. I'm sorry. If
I know we just said that was lame, but here we are doing
but,
it.
But yeah. but I just but developers didn't even know that like someone just the other day attached. They got these Octorok balloons. Like you, like
oh, yeah, sometimes yeah,
you kill them and you get it.
Someone attached a bunch of those to a raft on the water, and they got a fully functioning airship. It was flying.
What?
They are just like flying over land. Yeah, and the developers were like, we didn't know you could do that. We've never seen that.
Hey,
we did not know that. And it's just because that chemistry engine works so well that it was, you know, okay, enough of this gas would lift this thing. You know?
That's so interesting.
Pretty
cool.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, anyway, so it's just consistently been stuff like that.
Well, that's really cool.
Can you buy separate docks?
Like what, for the Switch?
Yeah,
like on its own. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How much is that?
$500 per dock.
$500.
Plus, there's a $3,400 cable to connect it to your TV.
They were originally $90 when they announced them, and people were like, "What?
Yeah,
it's that's a connector.
That's a connector."
So then, and then, like the day they finally came out, they were $60. Mm-hmm. So
that's kind of cool.
But it's funny because I thought, well, it's portable. Like, cool to have the dock in my living room. I don't need it anywhere else. It's portable. I'll play it wherever. But it really has got me, like, this whole week, I was like, man, if I had a dock in my bedroom,
yeah,
I'd
put it there. Yeah, a dock anywhere.
It started to get me in this mindset.
Have a dock
of,
here.
Oh, that would be, oh, yeah. But, yeah, so.
You guys are all playing on Switch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have noticed now that I've dug into it, because I'm playing on Wii U.
Yeah.
Which, I'm still getting the full experience, I think. The only...
What controller do you use for that?
Pro controller. Which I hate the Wii U Pro Controller had the analog sticks up high and then the buttons down low. And
yeah, that was kind of weird.
They switched really it back. The Wii or the Switch Pro Controller has that analog and button switched again. So it's back like normal.
Yeah.
It fucks me up. All the
By
time.
The way, you just reminded me, not to go all the way back to the NES Classic conversation we were having earlier. Yeah. But I heard that if you bought like, you know, the GameCube controllers that plug into the bottom of the Wiimote, those work on your NES Mini.
Yeah, because it's that same controller.
So a lot of people have like any Nintendo controllers that are sitting around that are like applicable to multiple consoles. Mm-hmm. Anyways,
they
went through an adapter to
But it's the same adapter.
Yeah.
Because I bought a second controller for my NES Mini, but then I was like, fuck, I bought all these Smash Bros. Controllers to play the new Smash Brothers. I got like 10 NES Mini controllers. Anyway, controller talk. But what were you saying about?
But on the Wii U, the only place I've noticed like degradation is when there's a lot of enemies on screen, especially if they're all doing different shit with different weapons, and a couple of them light their weapons on fire.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Like five enemies start to drop frames.
Oh, really?
It chugs a little, like old school games where like you get frame dropping when too many enemies are on screen. It's like, oh, this is kind of like NES Zelda now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you guys don't even see that. No. That thing runs pretty smooth.
Yeah, I had one instance in the game. I don't even know how many hours I played this game. I'm so far into it at this point. But I had one moment ever that it... Oh, okay, the frame rate went down a little bit while
you
I was...
kind of see it.
While I was actually doing something. Okay. As opposed, you know,
interesting. I had this problem with the controller that I keep trying to get my bow ready, and I throw my weapon... I do that a lot.
I did that in the beginning. Time. In the
and
beginning.
I keep throwing it off a cliff.
Hey,
like, it's always. No.
It's like once I got like 20 hours in, I finally learned how to play the game without accidentally
trying to drop my Guardian Sword.
I would drop a bomb and explode it on accident all the time. Just do dumb shit when I get nervous about to go into a fight.
Yeah.
The shrines, I feel like, are challenging enough to where they don't make you feel like a dummy. Because you actually solve them. I don't know about you guys, but I'm solving them without having to like look stuff up.
Yeah.
Just based by the hints they give you. So it's not too easy and it's not too hard. It's a nice level.
Right.
But I get really fucking frustrated with the motion controller ones.
Oh,
do you have that?
Oh, fuck.
Because I'm playing on a pro controller and then it's like, hey, dummy, you got to go get your Wii U controller and you have to I gotta go undock it and
ask you to do that.
I can only play that shrine with that
every form of controller for the Switch has that
motion
hardware. So no matter what controller you use on the Switch,
you just you turn your controller
tilt it there. Yeah,
because
I had just a Joy-Con once, and it was I can just do that.
I got to go pick up the thing, it's not synchronized. Yeah. Like so, I'm holding it like at a weird angle and upside down to make the image straight.
Yeah.
That's really awkward.
What Kevin just said: every controller is built with Amiibo support now, like a chip reader or whatever.
Yeah.
Is in those, and that's been really fun reading old Amiibos that I had a long time ago. Like I had an 8-bit NES Link or whatever. And like I just touched it to it, and it gave me a shield and like a ton of fish.
I got fruit. Something. Oh, and like,
it was just random shit.
Is it only Zelda Amiibos or any Amiibo?
No, I used my Wii Fit Trainer and Mr. Game & Watch.
And they gave you things in the game?
They gave me like a chest with fruit and like meat and stuff in it.
Shit.
Yeah.
No kidding. Oh my god.
So I only give you food items.
The only one I know that was like, oh, whoa, that's a big one, is there's an older Ocarina of Time Link Amiibo, and I think you get Epona, like the horse.
So, I think Beckett has that. Oh shit!
I got the horse once when I used my Smash Brothers Link.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't know if it's random.
Maybe that's what it was.
Okay,
I got the wrong one.
Sorry, Sean.
Fuck, I'm still try it.
But the Wolf Link gives you a little Wolf Link with three hearts, and he'll go automatically hunt and fight for you.
That's awesome.
And you can use it once in a day cycle.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of random shit.
Wolf Link was the best.
I didn't use Amiibos in this game. I'm so fucking blown away.
I didn't either. It was an option I had to go turn on, and then it's like your bomb.
Because they didn't want it to be like a thing where it's like, oh, sorry. You know, they didn't want the Amiibo thing to be in the way at all.
Gotcha.
You know, you have to go look
for it. Here's the thing. When do we get the third-party hacked Amiibo that it was? It's just like a fucking Mungo doll or whatever with every Amiibo in it.
That's got to be coming.
That's
just a dial Game Shark Amiibo. Yeah.
You dial
Game
it.
Game on, hackers.
Yeah.
Game on, hackers. Cool. Hey, I want to thank our sponsors this week. I want to give a hearty shout out to one of our sponsors in particular, MacWeldon.com.
Yeah.
MacWeldon.com has some of the best clothing, highest quality, highest style factor that you can find on the internet, because you're going to find things that you can wear on the outside and the inside. That's right. You need underwear? I know you do, sitting in those ratty boxers. Get into some Mack Weldon undergarments and outer garments today. Their sweatpants, let me tell you, this week I was in a delicate state.
Uh-oh.
Their pants
delicate.
And their shorts made me feel so much better They just felt so comfortable around the home. And Sunday when Sean pants. Came by to see me,
I did.
He wanted to borrow my camera,
yeah,
and also see how I was doing.
Mm.
And
give him soup and a hug.
And he said, "Damn, you look good."
Yeah,
he went, "Hey, get really close on my face, really close to my face." He went like this.
Yeah,
that's Sunday that's pants.
So hopefully you got that.
And anyway, calls them that?
That's what they call them.
They call and they're comfortable.
The Sunday shorts, I fall asleep in those things. But let me tell you that I had to go to the store, and I didn't change, and I still wasn't one of those scumbags who looked like I was in my pajamas, even though I was.
It was classier.
I looked like I was fucking going out on the town because I looked so fucking nice in my Sunday shorts.
There it is.
Back on me.
Yeah.
I had no Ro virus this week.
Oh, fuck.
That's not Mack Weldon's fault. Shopping at MacWeldon.com in no way contributed to me getting no Rovirus.
Thank God for that.
I was puking. Yeah. I was puking out the other end.
Oh, no.
Dual puking.
Geyser.
Blit, poo, blit, poo, poo, pew. Like a Chinese firecracker of liquid.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Going out both ends, right? 5 days of this. Yeah. 5 days. Whoa.
Yeah, nice.
I had my Mack Weldon antimicrobial metal fiber underwear on.
Yeah.
The end of that 5 days, I pulled them off, shoved them in my nose.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. Smelled great.
Smelled like they just came out of the water.
Fresh.
Fresh as a daisy, dude.
Fresh as a fucking daisy.
That's that silver, Sean. The power of silver is amazing.
So go to Mack Weldon.
Hey, there's no better endorsement than that.
Exactly.
They passed the no-ro test.
So go to MacWeldon.com, use the promo code MEGA64, and you're looking at a nice discount on your order. You're going to get a hefty discount on some amazing stuff. So go there today, MacWeldon.com, and order for yourself. You'll be happy you did. Also want to thank our sponsors, Kickapoo Joy Juice, the greatest drink. I've been drinking this piss water.
Ugh, yuck.
Fuck that. That's why I was so fragile.
Yeah.
This week because I had to drink that piss, that swill. I didn't have Kickapoo Joy Juice.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to drinkkickapoo.com and order a case today. Any flavor you want. They've got multiple. You can get a mix of them. You can go to drinkkickapoo.com or go on Amazon and you could get a case of Kickapoo for yourself. Drink up and be hearty. Also, follow at Drink Kickapoo on Twitter, and you're going to get updates on this amazing beverage and where you can find it. Tweet at them, and they will respond. They almost always do.
Always do.
With some fun stuff.
Yeah.
I heard that the number one drink of the Syrian refugees, when they come out of that shit that they're going through, which is not fun, not making fun of it.
Shit.
Getting serious here. Getting sad.
Okay.
They want a Kickapoo.
Well, it's a joy juice.
Exactly. And they are so desperate for it. Yeah. It's kind of becoming the official drink of the refugee.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is protest. Let's start sending them to the White House. Mm-hmm. Let's let President Dump know what we think. Send a pack of Kickapoo to 1600 Pennsylvania Way. Thank you very much.
He'd be a lot happier if he had Kickapoo.
Maybe that will change his disposition.
Yeah, that's
Donald
what I'm saying.
Tweet at Donald Trump. Hey, have you tried this?
They can find common ground because the refugees sip it, Trump sips it, and they both think, this is fucking good.
He looks
like... You know what? Let's stop fighting.
Do they have that Mar-a-Lago?
Let's drink more Kickapoo.
Fuzzy Navel. I say he's into Fuzzy Navel. He looks like Fuzzy Navel.
He would
guy.
Like that.
Melania's probably Peek-a-Blue or whatever it's called.
Malibu.
Yeah.
Peek-a-Blue, that's
Trump,
a Pokemon.
Trump, I read the dossier. He's already doing this thing called Kickapoo, but it has nothing to do with the drink. Literally, he's having these Russian prostitutes take lines of shits down on the bed. They're all lined up like little golf balls on a teacup, and he comes up with his foot and he starts kicking them all but gets the wall and flacking them. He needs to know what the drink
WikiLeaks
version is.
Yep, I agree.
You didn't read that? WikiLeaks, bro.
Wow.
DrinkKickapoo.com.
Hey, I wanted to point out we have an amazing online store. It's like the third time I've almost held Derek's hand this show. And
get away from
you. You just touch it.
I'm so excited.
You're going to get no-ro.
No-ro, bros.
Just touch it.
I'm so excited about tonight's podcast.
Hold it. Hold the back.
You know, you try to feel it out and see how it's going.
Did that hurt?
Yeah, well, the karate chop.
Actually did.
Sorry.
They broke my finger. We have an online store with some great merchandise, shop.mega64.com. This week, we put up, there were two barely surviving items from PAX. the classic old school original Mega 64 snapback hat and the brand new stunning Dimension scarf. Keeping people warm all of PAX. We just about almost sold out.
I think that saved my life at PAX. I'm not even exaggerating.
Seriously, we wrapped our heads like we looked like ninjas.
I had to through it. It was nice. Yeah.
But anyway, we put those on sale on Friday, and they were sold out within 2 minutes.
Oh, damn.
They were seriously gone in no... We didn't bring many back, yes.
Yeah. Damn.
They were gone in minutes. And as I've said before, I hate when that happens. You know, if you have a limited item and it sells out in a day, that's one thing. You had all day. If you didn't get it, you weren't on the ball. Okay. But when it's gone in 2 minutes,
yeah,
it's miserable.
People, we got to make it right.
The things they want. So right now we are opening up pre-orders. They'll be going until, Friday night, maybe?
Sure.
We'll end it Friday night.
Okay.
This Friday night, we'll end them. We're going to do pre-orders, open pre-orders. If you want to get one, get a pre-order in right now. Shop.mega64.com. Both of those items are up there. And we're trying to gauge, because honestly, like, it's a time in the year where it's like, is it time to make more scarves or stop making scarves?
Right.
You know, so we're doing a pre-order to get, to find out how many people are, you know, actually want one.
Well, let me tell you, even if it's cold or not cold where you live, winter's going to come back.
Exactly. It ain't leaving for good.
And you might as well look fucking good next time it gets cold. Be on the ball for fall.
Wear it during the summer. Get attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Game of Thrones coming back in April. Winter's coming.
Yep. It's July.
Fuck no.
Bad news.
No, sorry.
Okay.
Good news. It's coming back next month.
Cool. Give me your review.
Everyone.
I will give you my review.
Let me know how the Eldick's doing.
That's a made up character. You'd know that if you ever watch the fucking show.
Oh.
Needle Dick.
So check that out. Okay. Enough of that. Pre-order crap.
Yeah.
Time to get to something important. I'm going to address this. I'm going to address it right now, and I'm going to put a bow on it.
Can't wait.
End of discussion. The Matrix reboot.
Ugh.
Here's what needs to be said.
No!
When Tuesday comes, that's cut.
Perfect. Perfectly timed.
It's cut.
We can never get rid of that.
I got so many messages this week. Rocco, did you hear about this? Can you believe this? The Matrix reboot. Warner Brothers is investigating a Matrix reboot. I just want to say,
did it happen? They're trying to find out who did it.
They're investigating it. Someone's rebooting this. Who is it?
They hired the Batman. He's the best detective they have.
Yeah, it's the only detective Warner Brothers has.
He's trying to figure it out.
So, no, Warner Brothers is apparently working behind the scenes to try and reinvigorate the Matrix.
Okay.
And all these articles coming out are saying they're, oh, Matrix reboot, it's coming. They're looking at Michael B. Johnson. Is that what his name is? From Creed? Jordan? Whatever. Come on.
Hey, it was Michael B.
It was an honest mistake.
All right? Come on.
Anyway, they've been talking about this. So many of these news sources just rush to get a headline out. As always, they are not rebooting The Matrix. They're not. And there's an interview with the guy who they've hired to write for this, who basically said...
This is a non-story.
He said, they have hired me to work on a new Matrix project. There is no point in rebooting, and I thought this is actually... I don't know if he said this or somebody else, but rebooting The Matrix is like rebooting Fight Club. Don't fucking bother. Like... This is something that was so original.
Right.
And like you said, it revolutionized things. Mm-hmm. To reboot that is like a joke.
Yeah.
He said, that's not what we're investigating.
Yeah.
What we're working on is something that if people have seen the Animatrix, you know kind of what we're doing.
Side story shit.
Which is perfect. Yeah, which to me sounds great. Like, the Animatrix was 13 unrelated stories.
Right.
But they were all connected to a central thing. They don't have to be about Neo. They don't have to be about one thing. Like, there are a million stories they can do. So my thinking on it is, if they do straight up reboot it, the guy says they're not. If they do, that's stupid. I wouldn't want that.
The second a bullet time shot is in there, I'm laughing. Like, I'm not going to take it seriously. It's sure. Like, okay, guys.
But if they hold to that and it's just another story in that world, and also another thing set up in the Matrix story is that it's all happened before. Multiple times.
Yeah.
And it, in all probability, will again. So they have a million opportunities to do something that isn't just straight up rebooting.
I guess.
So if they take that, then cool.
Infinite
dimensions. Is it the Wachowskis?
Now, that's the thing is supposedly behind the scenes, they are not involved. And so, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, this is an opportunity. You know, if it's just connected to the Matrix, if it's not necessarily, you know, whatever, you still have opportunities that you can see a glimpse of these other characters in it and stuff. Because these actors are all still around, you know, whatever. But, like, a lot of these actors have already said, like, hey, that was the Wachowskis, like, that was their baby.
Right.
And if they're not involved, like, we ain't doing that. Mm. So, yeah.
They're going to get a cut of whatever. That's their baby.
Probably. So. But it is kind of, that definitely was their, board. Like, it doesn't sound like it, but anything
producing happened, or otherwise, it seems.
So we'll see if this even gets off the fucking ground. You know what I mean? But anyway,
that's the thing is like with today's way the world works with Twitter and all that stuff. It is like that kind of thing every 3 seconds, and it's like this was always happening in movies.
Yeah.
But
you didn't hear about it
until you saw a trailer.
Yeah.
So like it's whatever.
Exactly.
So we've officially come to the movie section of the conversation, which brings me to Beauty and the Beast, because I've seen a bunch of the live action Disney cartoon.
You're the only one I know.
Adaptation.
Yeah. You're the go-to.
I've seen them all.
Yeah.
For whatever fucking reason. They're all god-awful garbage.
Yep.
There isn't a single one that's good. And yet, somehow, there's this mentality that they're all great. And
I don't know what that is.
And the stuff I've seen advertising this new one is like, another great one. And I see something in the advertising of this, and it kind of like suddenly like the veil was pulled off, and I was like, oh, every fucking movie does this, and we need to fucking stop. And it's just a series of one word reviews that are so incredibly good, it kind of like hurts your brain.
Bold,
dazzling. Unbelievable.
Mesmerizing.
Brave.
Fantastical. Adventurous. Glorious.
Oh, wow.
Scramblescent. Bedazzled.
Scramblescent.
I love scramblescent.
Effervescent. Illustrious. Illuminous. Inspiring.
Illuminating.
And it's just, okay, good? It's never like a good movie or...
It's never like this movie completely changed my life or something.
No, it's always like, I had like a psychedelic experience and I'm a different person now. Beauty and the Beast.
I would love it if they had all those one-word reviews and then it just said good movie.
Good-ass movie.
And I feel like I see this with Beauty and the Beast, but I feel it's like it doesn't matter if this is a gangster movie or a fantasy movie or a movie about flying through space. It's always just phenomenal. Amazing.
Spellbinding.
Out of this world.
There's got to be trends in marketing that follow like time, like a trend in marketing, and whoever has been marketing movies like in the last 4 years have realized like, one word.
Well,
we're in the one
that's
word
all they can
era.
Get from these shitty movies.
Well, that and they have a second look at it so that they can just they throw one word on there, you can read it.
But
and
you run the risk of two reviewers saying the same word.
True.
Two people say spellbinding, you can only use one review. Eventually, every reviewer will just have their own word, and if they like something.
Smart.
Oh, I'm the guy. I say spellbinding when I like it, and when I don't like it, I say spell broken.
Oh.
That's the future.
That's
I'm calling it. Every reviewer out there is going to have their one word.
Dude, your kid critic is going to have to adopt the new... He's probably going to create the new format.
What shitty critic this week said more Beast than Beauty about the movie?
Probably my kid critic.
Oh, okay.
Lights, Camera, Jackson.
Yeah, it just... I couldn't have seen more.
I bet he fucking loved it.
I couldn't have seen more indifference going into this Beauty and the Beast movie. It shattered every record. And everyone I know is going, I should have just watched the original. God, just don't go to these.
Oscar. But now that I've kind of shown you that, keep an eye out. I think you're going to see that more and more for more movie advertisements. Just a series of one-word reviews that really don't mean anything.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Buzzwords.
Speaking of new movies,
and
poor
reception.
Yeah, you saw.
Saw Kong Skull Island. It was number one at the box office.
Why did you see that?
My girlfriend wanted me to go see it with her.
All right.
To be honest,
respect.
The girlfriend.
We've all been nice.
I've never been interested in King Kong.
No,
I've never cared.
Oh, I wanted to see the Peter Jackson one.
I liked the old ride.
Just me.
I liked the old ride at Universal before it burned down. Don't care for the new one. What was the one with Peter Jackson?
2005.
Remake in 2005.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I didn't like it, but I wanted to see that one. That was the only one where I was like, okay, I'll see this.
I've always felt like I was the one guy who liked that remake.
I really like
that remake. But at the end of the day, fuck it.
Yeah.
I like the original King Kong.
Okay.
The original King Kong is the classic.
Black and white.
Oh, class. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. Is that Fay Wray
he's got in his hand?
Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite
movies. I get the importance of that as a history of film, and I understand the pop culture iconic character King Kong. But I've just never given a shit. Yeah, I guess I've been more into, like, Godzilla because he was Japanese, maybe.
Sure.
You know? But this movie was, like, by the books action movie. Here are your character. I mean, it was entertaining in that sense. It was also like a weird mashup of, hey, here we're going to do a monster movie and a Vietnam movie. Hey, we're going to mash these two up.
Whoa.
Better run
Vietnam and some
jungle.
Fucking gorillas.
It was like all the music from every fucking Platoon and Forrest Gump and everything Vietnam that you like. And then it was like, fucking fight King Kong, guys. Hell,
Samuel Jackson. Did they send King Kong to Vietnam?
No, it's like King Kong lives.
He was like the Viet Cong.
Charlie in the fucking trees.
Wow.
It's Whoa. Like it's weird. What? I can call him Charlie.
What?
I knew a guy named Charlie. He lived in a fucking treehouse. Eric, you have an issue? So the movie was like so just like by the books.
I didn't.
Here's your heroes. None of them really do that much. A lot of stars in the movie, and you're like, wow, all these big names in this movie. Like, you know, fucking King Kong. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why do they spend so much money making a movie where nobody does anything? Wouldn't it be more fun? You got the cameras and the lights and the costumes and the fucking fake guns. Like,
do something.
Have a story where, like, people shoot at stuff and, like, stuff happens.
The coolest thing was, like, if you're into helicopters...
What a review!
You're into helicopters,
that's all I can say. Like, if you were the guy that was in that documentary, Derek, that wanted to fuck Airwolf,
okay,
this is the movie. This is the summer blockbuster for you.
Question: your girlfriend is who wanted to go because she's King Kong. Did she like it?
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, Beauty and the Beast made $170 million this weekend.
It's the number one March box office.
Jesus.
Of all time.
That is insane. Disney will never stop doing this. That is it.
Yep.
That is
Everyone was indifferent. Everyone was indifferent. $170 million.
They're going to make Emma Watson be Ariel next, and it's going to make $180 million. And that's what's going to happen.
Imagine if they make a movie that people are already positive about.
Emma Stone will be Ariel.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
I just casted that. Yeah. Anyways, well, there you go.
Nice. Well, I saw a badass movie on Amazon this week.
Oh.
Tom Hanks' first movie. Anybody know what this is? What's Tom that? Hanks doesn't even know what this is because purportedly he denies having made this movie. But it's available on Amazon.
That's not good.
Amazon Prime Video right now. It's called Mazes and Monsters.
Oh, I want to see this now.
The premise of this movie.
Nice.
The premise of this movie is that Mazes and Monsters is supposed to be Dungeons and Dragons. They couldn't get the rights to Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard about this.
Dungeons and Dragons. Okay, this movie was made in a different world. That's right. This movie, and he actually is much younger in the film than he is in that picture.
They used an old photo for the photo shoot.
This movie was made in a different America. This movie was made in 1981. Legitimately thought Dungeons and Dragons was satanic, devil-worshipping, occult stuff.
Satanic panic.
That was going to cause your children to go insane and commit suicide. Tom Hanks is that child. So in Mazes and Monsters, he gets involved in a D&D campaign that goes so fucking off the rails, he loses touch with reality. And on his own... goes by himself through the slums and like alleyways of 1982 inner city New York City.
Oh,
on a fucking Dungeons and Dragons
Hell's
bender.
Kitchen.
He goes to Hell's Kitchen. He gets into gang fights.
Whoa.
And people are like, hey, tour guy, give me all your money. And he'll pull out a crystal and be like, I am Pardew, the holy man, monster. I will cast you down.
What the fuck?
And the spells aren't working, so he's like, I have a sword in case my spells fail me. And Tom Cruise is like,
Tom Hanks
gets into a knife fight because he thinks it's a fucking Dungeons and Dragons trip, and then he goes into the subway system and he like meets homeless people. You know a movie's good when Tom Hanks is so crazy he's scaring the homeless people in the subways below New York City.
What is this movie?
It's called Monsters and Mazes. At one point, he meets a homeless guy, and the homeless guy's scared because he doesn't know why Tom Hanks is so deep in the subway system. And he's basically like, the homeless guy is armed, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And Tom Hanks is like, I am Pardew, the holy man. And the homeless guy goes, oh, and I'm the king of France. And Tom Hanks fucking bows down to him. Your holiness. Oh. I'm searching. Okay, so watch the movie. It was a drama. It was a cautionary tale. But it is a fucking comedy. And should I tell you the grand finale?
Do you see through Tom Hanks' eyes and everyone looks like a monster?
Yes and no.
Oh.
So you're seeing
the perspective
shots. You see the things he sees, but then every once in a while it'll flash to what he sees in his mind.
And it's like a ghoulie.
Yeah. Can I tell you the grand finale? Oh, it might be a spoiler. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to see it regardless. Right.
Yeah. Watch. Yeah, really.
Hey,
okay.
Eric, the rest sold me. Just spoil it.
This will sell you on it. His ultimate quest in his fucking D&D bender. He wants to go to the top of the World Trade Center and jump off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And his friends need to track him down before this happens. Now, it's a cautionary tale. So, does he jump off at the end or not?
Oh, he does?
I'll let you watch to find out.
Leave us hanging.
But you'll be afraid to play Dungeons & Dragons after you watch Mazes & Monsters.
Holy shit, I can't wait.
And then also this weekend, I also saw for the first time Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, yeah.
Which I had never seen before.
Classic.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I know of it. Yeah. I've never seen it either.
Garrett, watch it.
Okay.
You specifically would love it. Yeah. Because
I've always known about it, and I've never sat down.
I sat down and watched it once years ago, and I turned it off. Honestly, I was like, not into it. Having sat through the whole thing, it is a punk rock horror film.
Okay.
Yep. Super low budget, but there are like some of the Killer Clowns are like punk rock clowns, and it is a low-budget 80s horror movie that is so good. Apparently, they're making a sequel that's coming out like next year.
No shit.
Which is why they're putting this one out on Amazon again to watch. I'm not interested in the sequel. Fuck that.
Nah, we're good.
Hey, the original's brilliant.
Yeah, gotcha.
It is so bad, it's good.
Two things I want to say about the movie real quick.
Attack of the Killer
Tomatoes. One, it's also a great place to see a performance by a great old actor who plays a crazy old man in this movie.
Yeah.
Royal Dano. He was Abraham Lincoln in Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Royal.
Personally chose by Walt Disney himself. He gets fucked up by a bunch of clowns in this movie. So it's one of his last performances, and that's great. Two, the effects in this movie were created by the Kyoto brothers, who are a great, great house of people who make physical effects, and stuff for movies. A long time ago, a lot of people don't know this. I don't know if I've ever even talked about this. In probably 2005, so 12 years ago, I met someone from the Kyoto Brothers at San Diego Comic-Con, and they knew Mega 64. They actually came to talk to me about, like, they had watched our show. It was someone who, I don't know what his role was at the company, but he said, you know, one of the things they do is they've done sculpts for figures and stuff like that. So he's like, you know, it'd be really cool if you guys had Mega 64 figures that, you know, and then we could find a place to mass produce them or something. And I was like, yeah, you know, thinking in my head, like, how would we ever have the budget to do that? I mean, we were making no money at that point, you know, doing Mega 64. But anyway, I wanted to try to make it work. It was just cool getting to talk to someone from the Kyoto Brothers. And all I ever had to say was stuff about Killer Clowns. Oh my God, you know, do they have, and he sent me pictures of like they had some Killer Clown stuff at the studio. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
They held on.
At one point, he sent me a photo of someone there at the Kyoto Brothers studio did a sculpt of a Dr. Pock figure. Like, what would Dr. Pock look like
Final toy?
If there
style?
Was, yeah, in an exaggerated kind of universe or whatever. And it was like a sculpt of me, but like, with real big jaws and a remote going like that. And it was just this really rough sculpt of it, but it was so expensive to go any further that it was like, I just don't think we can. I've been trying to rack my brain to come up with ways, and I don't think we can. And they were like, that's okay, that's okay, you know, whatever. And nothing ever came out of it. I'm going to have to dig.
A photo, though.
I got to find that photo. Somebody must still have somewhere that.
Wait, save it for the book.
On a hard, yeah, in all honesty. I must have it on a hard drive somewhere. Yeah. But
Well, if it's in the podcast, you know, he found it. If it's not.
Oh, there's no way it will be. It will take me a long time.
He's got some digital digging.
Well, so, both those movies are available on Amazon Prime right now, which... check them out.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have Amazon Prime, go ahead and subscribe to our Twitch. Do yourself a favor.
It's free.
Yeah.
Click on that. It's free to you. It helps us out. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get a free subscription every month. Just click that and you get a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Twitch has been streaming Power Rangers.
Yes.
Nobody gives a shit. So
we're we're like 20 minutes over anyways. So let's.
No, we're done. This is the meat and potatoes. We've been waiting to get to.
Yeah, this is his favorite podcast. He gets to talk about Power Rangers and The Matrix.
Yeah, this is going to be. I'm trying to pare it down to just the five or six things I actually want to talk about with this. Okay. So anyway, no, it's been awesome. It's been awesome. Again, being indoors all this week. They've been streaming every single episode of Power Rangers in
this
order.
Is original Mighty Morphin Angel Grove.
Everything.
It's leading up for the new movie.
In space and all?
Everything leading up to right now.
You can keep naming them. We'll keep
saying from the first episode to the last one aired.
They are spending so much money on promoting this new movie.
Have you seen Allison McGinnis in her Pink Ranger outfit?
That's airing right now.
From SPD.
No. That's Lightspeed Rescue.
Oh, shit. Lightspeed Rescue.
It's airing right now.
That's gotcha. On,
as we speak. It's
wow.
Today is all Lightspeed Rescue. But, anyway, man, it has been great having that on. Just yesterday, I was sitting there. I was playing Zelda and watching Power Rangers in Space and thinking to myself.
Hey,
how old are you?
And thinking, well, you're stepping on my joke because that's what I was going to say. But anyway.
When I walked into your house yesterday, Rocco, it was Zelda on the thing, and I did hear Power Rangers on your laptop.
It was just I knew what you were doing. If I could tell myself in 97 that, like, yeah, in 20 years, every episode will be streaming and you'll have the best Zelda game. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, sure. but watching all these and watching, like, the chat reactions has been so funny. Seeing the differences in the seasons and all that stuff, whatever. But I wanted to point out, there's some episodes that you watch when you're older and you see a lot of the, okay, like, I think I know what was going on behind the scenes here. Or you see through something they were trying to trick you and it's like, okay, clearly this cast member wasn't available for this episode and that's why they keep acting like he's in the other room. Stuff like that. And it's funny. Okay, whatever. There's one episode that was more impressive now than when I was younger. And it's an episode, I want everyone to look it up. There's an episode of Power Rangers Lost Galaxy.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Called the I think it's called The Rescue Mission. And it is an episode that there is not a single bit of Japanese footage or anything like that.
Oh, wow.
You don't see a Power Ranger in it at all until the very end. And it is an episode where they get a distress signal from some downed ship and they investigate it. And it was... It was like, okay, we have a space premise. Let's shoot Alien. It is a half-hour episode where it is nothing. Really? I mean, there's almost like no music. It's them going through a ship with laser guns just like, there's something in here. Yeah. Oh, this thing's been on loop. How long? A long time. How late are we to this thing? I don't even know. It was like they just challenged themselves to make a horror movie. And it's very Resident Evil almost. I don't know how to describe it. It's also the only episode in Power Rangers history to have an actual scary monster.
Seriously, there's
a monster in it that you're actually like, okay, this is scary. This is actually, it's, they're being kind of stalked by it and stuff. Check it out. It was like really unusual. It was like really well done. Well, in the context of that show.
I'm going to go see the movie Life when it comes out. So,
or just go see Life.
I'm covered there.
I'm going to see Life. It sounds like they stole the premise.
Yeah.
Toys in the Attic. Probably the Bebop movie.
Probably did. But anyway, that just stood out to me. I was like, hey, that was actually kind of cool. Okay. You know, whatever. The rest of it is Power Rangers is normal. But anyway.
And that's all in anticipation for when that... I thought that this new movie already came out.
No. Comes out.
Wow.
This week.
Right. Oh, my God.
I'm sure it will beat Beauty and the Beast.
I'm going to go get in line right now. Because I don't miss my ticket.
You want to take all the kids to go?
No.
The kids don't want to go see
that. They don't care.
The kids don't want to see Power Rangers.
Hey, my kids don't give a shit.
Who wants to see Power Rangers?
That
you want to see Power Rangers?
That movie is made for no audience.
Yes.
It's PG-13, so it's already like too high up for little kids.
Right.
It's also not high enough for older. You know what I mean? Like it's catering to like a basic.
You know what?
The nostalgia audience.
Actually, yeah, I think it's for kids who are slightly younger than the main characters in the movie. Like you're young enough to think Power Rangers are cool.
Like, but if you're the age stuff is cool,
if you're the age of the kids in the movie, you're probably like over it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, but in a few years I'll be those
only,
guys.
The only people I know that want to see it are people who you know, have a strong recollection of the show 20 years ago.
Which is not,
and it's more of a curiosity.
And that is more and do you think they'll leave that like real pleased?
No,
fuck that.
You know, so like
what about this movie? Looks like anyone is leaving pleased.
Yeah.
Saban is
gonna
winning?
Leave pleased.
You know what I mean? Like
no, they're not gonna make any money. They're not gonna be pleased.
I think it's gonna be a bloodbath.
That check is cashed.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's true.
What I think is really funny is these. There's been like a lot of. I've seen all these kind of like think pieces or interviews or whatever online about the cast. Like, wow, 2017. That's awesome. Look at the like this multicultural cast. Are you fucking serious? Have you seen one fucking episode of the show?
Yeah. Oh god!
Like they were fucking ahead of the curve on that. Like, come on. Anyway,
next week I expect your full review, Rocco, of the Avengers movie. Could you give us that review?
I don't know. I didn't. I don't want to. I'm
could
not
you
really
see it
dying
for the
to like,
show though.
I don't want to give it my money.
Yeah, buy a ticket to something else.
But some old friends invited me, and I'm like, okay, well,
you know
maybe,
what?
Maybe I'll go.
Go
curiosity's got to get.
And
that.
I do want to hear your review of it. Okay. On the podcast.
Okay.
Thank you for watching, everyone. Tune in next week when you get to hear Rocco talk about Power Rangers.
It can't be over.
I'm going to give my pre-review right now.
All right, hit him with it.
This is
not out yet.
This is the preamble.
All right.
This is the preamble. You know what? I don't even want to talk about that. We're going to end on final thoughts. I thought we would just talk about... I wanted to discuss immigration.
Good night!
My thoughts on it. Listen, they're harsh thoughts, but it's... The truth hurts. Why are you cutting?
How come you get mad at the one guy trying to protect everybody?
Good night.
What do you mean, shut it off?
Thank you.
What?